Hello, my name is Henry, and this is show number 23 of My Mac Guys. And in a moment, you'll be hearing my partner in crime's intro. His name is Chris, but he'll tell you that himself. And we are amidst a very interesting experiment in the chronology of My Mac Guys, whereby we have successfully decided to start recording shows in absentia. Chris is in Texas working on a project, and I'm in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, working on a project. And we're submitting our voice feeds kind of separately, and I'm going to mix them together in GarageBand. And I think it's so far so good. After finally spending a lot of time trying to get GarageBand up and running, I now have it and can actually do some real kind of mixing back and forth. And even though it is going to be a little bit odd, I'm not going to try to lay anything over anybody. I'm actually going to go back and forth between the two of us when appropriate and see how that feels to our listeners and to ourselves. And if nothing else, it's just a lot of fun because GarageBand is a pretty amazing program, and it has taken me so long to get it installed on my PowerBook that, and I'll go into that a little bit later, maybe if time permits. Anyway, let's hear from Chris.
Hello, Henry, my Mac guy. I'm this morning I actually do have a beautiful face because I have to paint a picture for you, Henry. It's 6:10. We shot all day yesterday, and I am the only person who is on double call. The camera crews are split, and they actually go home for half of the day, but I have chosen, and it is my prerogative, to be on call all day. So, hello everybody. Hello, Mac fans. It's Chris calling from Texas, and it's 6:15 a.m. I've been up since 4:30, and I plan to go to bed tonight somewhere around 1 o'clock, which is pretty much what my day has been. But let me explain that that does not preclude me from hanging in with my Mac guy email. And I've gotten some really cool stuff sent to me recently. I'll try to find that while I talk to Henry and read his email. Basically, Hank, you wrote me and you said you would like me to answer some questions, and you know, I'm just going to riff on them.
Question one. When was the first time you saw a Mac computer?
In a weird way, that kind of harks back to my dad having, I think it was the Lisa. It was either the Lisa or it was, I think it was a 2E. And, you know, I remember the Rainbow Apple logo. I'm pretty sure that's what it was at that time. And you know, I didn't really know what to do with a computer. I don't think he had a lot of software. I think he had maybe WordPerfect or you know, maybe one program. And I remember that I was sort of obsessed with holding down one of, like the X key and just watching it redraw itself many times on the screen. That was probably my recreational drug phase, and that might explain that. But I remember doing that for hours.
For me, my first computer, you know, I really don't know. I realize that these questions are things that I'll have more trouble answering than Chris probably will. I remember I had a good friend who was the guy that turned me on to Dynaco amplifiers, which was a kit you could put together for like $300, and I actually went through two or three of those. I built one for a friend of mine, and he was also somebody that I saw him using email in long before anybody else I knew was using email in the late 70s, and he built his own computer, kind of hobbled together a black and green, black and white screen with green lettering, and I don't know who he was emailing because he's literally the only person I knew that even had an email. But he kind of got my bug started because I know that it was through him that I took advantage of the massive educational discount at UCLA Bookstore for my Mac SE, which cost just under $4,000. But I know I got like a, 25 or 30% discount over off list. And he wrangled this hilarious deal because I didn't even know the guy who used it. You could buy one computer from the UCLA computer store, in your name. And the guy that he set me up with was a PC user, so he just didn't care. It felt like just the side of a drug deal because I met the guy in the courtyard and we went in there and I think I had to pay in cash. I mean, the whole thing was hilarious. But I know that's all ties into my early memories of the lovely Macintosh OS. Okay, what's the next question? Let's see.
Okay, to what extreme would you go to make sure you have a Mac with you? I don't know. This feels pretty extreme because if you were to go, I'm actually in one of the darkest, literally darkest places on North America. This is like an astronomer's mecca. There's absolutely no lights to be seen for as far as the eye can see where I am right now, except for my trailer, which is parked in the middle of a field with nothing but jackrabbits, wild boar, antelope, and dirt. And that might be actually all of Texas that I have just described. Hey, but I gotta tell you, Texas has really gotten into me, and I'm totally into this whole experience. If you'd said 104 degrees to me before, I would have thought, you have to go to a hospital. At this point, 104 has not slowed me down in the least, and I'm into it. What can I tell you? All right, without diverging too much from my Mac-minded audience, what's the craziest customization, you have ever done?
Well, I mean, for me, I'd say I've never done anything too whacked out. putting my first RAM module, which I spoke about in a previous show, actually comes to mind just because of the whole episode of me plugging my the ground loop into the wall connected to my wrist. My PowerBook 180 I covered in stickers, just vinyl stickers, but it never got all that interesting. I know I wanted to paint it because it just got, with that kind of ugly gray box that started to get pretty disheveled over time. And I know I contemplated, after having had taken it apart numerous times to replace the ribbon cable and put in many modems. And that was a unit where I saw smoke come out of the back of my modem, plugging it into a PBX system at a hotel. But I don't think I ever painted it because I remember selling it on eBay for $313 and claiming it was in as good condition as it could be for that unit. So yeah, that's about it. And you?
Really, nothing comes to mind except for kind of spray painting one of my old Macs with it looks like textured gray spooge. I don't know what the hell you call that stuff, but it turns it into a speckled machine. Somehow you can buy it in a hardware store and it spits out, and somebody's going to write in and tell me what the heck it was called. But it was just very cool to have a Mac that didn't look like everybody else's Mac, and I really don't know why they don't offer more customization. I think somebody out there could really make a fortune with skins for all the Macs. That was me drinking a cup of black oil, which will soon be jolting through my brain and awaking me to what I have to do. I'm amazed at how calm I am because, on a day like today, for example, I have a team of oxen arriving. I have anywhere between 3 and 5 wranglers that will be meeting with me to decide where things begin and end on a map that's the size of Rhode Island. And here I am broadcasting my Mac, guys. Do I have my priorities straight? I think I do. All right, so Before anybody bangs on this trailer, let's answer the next question. What is your dream setup? Wow. I guess my dream setup, like every Mac owner, is the widest, the LCD screen. I don't really, to be quite honest with you, I don't like the new silver, gray silver sort of LCD panels. I really like the generation before, which was the blue looking sort of Lucite. I'm really mumbling here, but I like those. I think they're cool, and I would like, I don't know, a 400-inch widescreen. Oh, is that too big? I'm not really sure, but whatever the big one is, I like that. With a PowerBook G5, which they have not invented yet. So a PowerBook G5 with a lit screen, a coffee maker, and probably actually a muffin toaster would be really good, because I find in the morning that I pretty much want a muffin and coffee. And I'm pretty sure that they could attach some sort of coffee dispenser to a Mac. So, Steve, if you're listening.
Dream Sheen. You know, it's so funny. I have this, it's this funny experience of me actually, I'm not recording these questions and answers kind of in one stretch, just because I haven't really had the time. And just because I'm taking advantage of the fact that I'm editing the program. So I have had the very untraditional My Mac Guys ability to contemplate some of these questions a little bit, which feels very evil when I admit it. But the dream machine for me is, it clicked in for me because I'm reading this Neal Stephenson novel called Interface. I just went out and had to buy something to read that was more potboiler-esque for my off time, and I just love Stevenson's work. But the book is about implanting a microchip in the back of a politician's brain so that they can then instantaneously control his spin. Based on what's going on in the world and viewer reactions, and it's all very believable, as in all of Stevenson's work. So I started thinking about, well, G5 would be great with the 32-inch screen. I says, no, my dream machine is not. I don't want a computer implanted in my brain. I want to make sure my brain is still left to do, everything it wants to, can do by itself, because it's totally enough for me. But what I want is a chip that will interface me with the GUI. I want OS X to be something I can control from my brain, because I find the most frustrating thing about working on a computer is using a mouse, or I use a trackball and a tablet at home, and I still don't have first of all, I have some level of carpal tunnels in my left arm, my mouse arm, for years, which has been dealt with fairly successfully by my acupuncturist. But if I could just interface with my computer through my thoughts, then I'd be all set. And I just mean moving my cursor around and searching and finding and also auto dictation and things like that. I basically don't want to use a keyboard or a mouse anymore. But I do want a screen. I'm not sure whether I would want like a full, Tom Cruise, whatever that film was, the Spielberg thing, type of visual screen. I actually kind of like having a nice bright panel in front of me. So I think that's it. It's a microchip embedded interface over a fairly large. I'd say I think 32 inches pretty decent for right now. LCD, and that's it. Pretty doable, I'd say, right?
What's your least favorite thing about Mac? I might have to say the price, but I'm kind of over it. I think I get my money's worth. In my 3-year turnaround period, I'd say my least favorite thing is probably right now the new version of iPhoto, and its new way that it, scrolls the pictures across the top of the screen. I have to say, my daughter complained, Sierra complained about it first, and, I think my new theory on software is Yeah, they can go forward and give you a new version, but just like we have preferences for... Oh God, even as I say this, the brilliance of this is coming to me. This is amazing. I want 1%. Whoever pulls this one off, send it to my house, go to the website, figure out an encrypted way to send you my bank account. But, okay, version 4.9 of iTunes. That's what we're using now. All right, great. What if you're a fan of 3.4? You shouldn't have to download or not have available to you other versions. Just in a preferences panel on the left, you just say, which version do you want it to look like and work like? You know what I'm saying. Make it a skin choice to be able to say, okay, I really like the previous version of iLife's iPhoto. And if I ever need the newest features, tweak forward. I think you're all getting what I'm saying. Henry, you want to riff on that? Because I'm sure you like the idea. I think it's brilliant. All software should have previous versions available. Retro preferences. Let's call it the retro preferences.
Boy, do I want to riff on that. Yeah, I think that is just about the stupidest thing I've ever heard you say. Because it totally pissed me off that, like, the very thing, iPhoto, that you were championing, you know, a few shows ago and reminding me many moons ago how important it was to get our, you know, iLife 05 show off the ground and comparing it to Photoshop. And now here you are complaining about, you know, backwards compatibility. Listen, I mean, you're the guy that decided to, you know, upgrade to Tiger without, like, heeding any, you know, waiting around to see if there's any issues with any of your software and then sending us into you know, turnaround morbidity on the show for 4 months because your inbox wouldn't load or whatever. You know, I think that it just, if you think about what it would take, I mean, you know, what you're saying is almost like, well, I like OS X, but, you know, today I want to work on version 7.5 of my Mac. I mean, first of all, you'd have to have a storage vessel, you know, the size of the Library of Congress, to have every version of every piece of software at your beck and call, just so you could decide you wanted to play around with, you know, and, you know, some other version of your software. Now, I know you're going to say, well, no, but I just want to go back one or two versions. Well, how do you decide? Like, when you install the software, you say, okay, well, I'm going to use iPhoto versions 3.4. to 5.1, and those are the ones I want to install. It's just so impractical that I can't even get beyond that part of the statement. I think that maybe what you're on to is just a little more control over the way something gets installed in general. I think there might be some ability there to, at the installation time, to make some choices about what you do and do not want of a given piece of software. Not that it would be an older version, but, you know, if you don't want those scrolling previews across the top of your iPhoto 5, maybe you could choose to not have that part of the software installed, or I guess turned off in an extended preference panel. But I just think that the idea of making all versions available to the user is not only incredibly cumbersome to the software developers, it's just a physical impossibility. So that's my riff, and I hope you don't fall out of your chair when you hear the final show.
The most important thing on this list in the show is the following sound. A good slug of black Texas oil in a cup. Starbucks coffee. You know, Henry, I know you're going to go off the minute I say that, but the fact is, you know, my choice was like, I don't even want to say it. I bought some Starbucks coffee. All right. Henry, is that the sound of Henry editing me out? I think it might have been.
No, it's. I'm so glad to say something again because I felt so bad about my last tirade over iPhoto 5, without Chris having the opportunity to respond directly. No, I'm glad you brought up Starbucks because when I mentioned my errant Starbucks sucks section of my website a few shows ago. A loyal fan had emailed me to let me know that he couldn't find that link on my website, which made me realize that for the many years I've been collecting information on why Starbucks is one of the most evil empires ever created by the U.S. commerce capitalistic world, that I'd never put up a page. I just made a link to it, and it was a dead link, which is pretty embarrassing. But anyway, it gave me the impetus to finish the page, which I will relink on our blog. But if you just go to my website and look around for Starbucks Sucks, S-U-X, you'll find all my thoughts on the very subject, and there you go. So thanks for buying that Starbucks coffee. It has helped me remember to once again pitch my stuff here on My Mac Guys.
All right. Let's see. What's the next question? What is your... it's actually not a question. It's Henry. These are lousy questions, but I thought it might get your juices rolling. Henry, they're not lousy questions, and they did get my juices rolling. It's 6:21. I'm sort of running out of time. The only thing I would like to scan forward for is... all right, Henry, why don't you read the email that I sent you recently, you know, praising the show. It was from the guy who wanted the information on wiring the car. Okay? This is Chris, one half of My Mac Guys, signing off from Texas, throwing it back to my buddy Hank, and really happy that we're even able to have some sort of a show go up. And I can't wait to get back to Los Angeles and get our good microphone and get back to work. While I'm actually looking at Hank, because this is actually harder than it seems to just ramble on incessantly by yourself. So, good luck to everybody. Talk to you soon. I'm out of here.
Chris, I'm actually not going to read the email from the gentleman who emailed us regarding the iPod in the car information, which I did send to him. Thanks very much. There is another one that I think you may have been referring to. I think you may have gotten your emails mixed up in your search for the email of your mind that I did indeed edit out of the show, 4 or 5 minutes of Chris searching for email in his power book. This is partially just a nice email from a gentleman in Cornwall, England, named Chris Andrewartha, but also it's in response to a question I'd asked regarding... file conversion of MPEG movies, which I almost was going to do a whole segment on here at the end, but it's just too long. I'm just interested and have acquired a fair amount of knowledge, may not be the right word, about codecs and file conversion for audio and film. And there's so many kind of pieces of freeware and shareware out there, as well as the known pieces of software for doing all these things, that it just needs I think it would be good to hash out some of it, but it might be worth doing it on a real show and not here and trying to squeeze it into a few minutes. Here is Chris's email. Hi, Hank. First to be said is that I love the show and have listened to them all since show 5, and just wanted to say thanks for putting all of your work into the great show, and yes, please carry on with the on-the-road short shows. Also, I don't think Chris was right about show 22. I liked it, and it was a nice change seeing as your normal show couldn't be made. About your question on the show about movie converting, I use a program called FFmpegX. This can convert any file from just about any format to anything else, be it from turning an AVI file into a VOB DVD file or from a 3GP cell phone file to a .movie. I hope that this will help you, and good luck. I'm also a big Kevin Smith fan, so I was pretty impressed that you got a mention on his blog. P.S. You guys were my first iTunes stop when I set up my podcasts. So I thought that was just a nice acknowledgement of both the show, my presence on Kevin Smith's iPod blog, and I'm just tired. It's now Saturday evening, and I've pretty much slept all day long, and I'm going to sign off, and I just wanted to let you know that the droning music you've been listening to in the background is indeed that Nine Inch Nails free download that we talked about a few shows back. And I'll tell you one thing, it as a recent, you know, major fan of GarageBand and how much fun it is to play around with, having access to a file like that, I think, really opens up your eyes as to the power of the program. So I will put the link back on our blog, but you know, it's basically a complete song from Nine Inch Nails, and you can, you know, I don't know, there's 10 or 15 tracks, and you can just completely fuck around with it. So it's just really cool. Anyway, so I just kind of faded different tracks in and out just to keep it going, and it got a little bit monotonous towards the end, I'm sure, but luckily it's all over now. So that's it, and 26 minutes and 35 seconds, and not bad for two guys living worlds away from each other. Please send in your thoughts, your ideas on some new shows. I've asked Chris my 5 questions. Maybe you can ask us 5 questions, and that will become next week's My Mac Guys on the Road internationally segmented mini show, which is not so mini. Okay, talk to you soon. Bye.